Amistad and Harper Audio present Morningside, the 1979 Greensboro Massacre and the Struggle for an American City's Soul by Aaron Robert Shetterly, read by Leon Nixon. Morningside is for my father, Robert, whose work guided me to this story. For my wife, Margot, who makes everything possible. For my son, Giles, who, like all children, inherits our history. And for all the dreamers struggling to build beloved community. Nations reel and stagger on their way. They make hideous mistakes. They commit frightful wrongs. They do great and beautiful things. And shall we not best guide humanity by telling the truth about all of this, so far as the truth is ascertainable? W.E.B. Du Bois. Section 1. America, 1979. 1. Debate. On the evening of November 2nd, 1979, the comfortable eight-room bungalow at the corner of Cypress and Yanceyville Streets in Greensboro, North Carolina, hummed with activity. In the kitchen and dining room and in an upstairs office, men and women huddled together, making placards, practicing speeches, and fine-tuning logistics for the march and conference set to take place the following day. Several women sat on the living room's colossal empire couch, talking and laughing as they stitched bolts of khaki cloth into Revolutionary Youth League uniforms for the children who were busy chasing one another through the house and across the property's oak-canopied yard. As they laughed and played, their shouts, like hurled incantations, carried past the silhouetted limbs toward the low clouds that blanketed the city. The house belonged to a handsome intellectual couple who'd found each other through radical politics and recently married. Signe Waller held a doctorate in philosophy from Columbia University, but quit teaching to commit herself to grassroots political activism. Jim Waller, a physician by training, had been drawn to North Carolina by the offer of a coveted postdoc at Duke University. He'd left the medical profession to become a laborer and a labor organizer. His new colleagues, fellow lintheads at the Haw River Granite Mill, one of the largest corduroy producers in the world, nicknamed the bespectacled, thick-whiskered ex-doctor Blackbeard. They'd come to appreciate his quirky, wry humor, and to trust the workplace agitation he encouraged in the interest of their health and quality of life. He was their pirate. After 18 months, plant management fired Jim for, the managers said, omitting the fact of his medical degree on the application. A pretense, the activists believed, convinced the spooked managers dismissed him for his relentless union organizing. Jim wasn't the only licensed doctor in the close-knit group. Paul Bermanzon, Mike Nathan, and Mike's wife Marty offered all who asked a short parable about why, after dedicating years to their medical training, they'd shifted their focus beyond the examining room. A doctor sits in his office, and people keep hobbling in with broken legs, they'd say. The doctor sets the legs and sends the people back into the world. But they keep returning, their legs fractured once more. Curious about the cause of this epidemic, the doctor looks outside. He sees a big hole and watches as people fall in. The doctor decides to leave the office, pick up a shovel, and fill the hole. One would have been hard-pressed to encounter a more unusual mix of people in Greensboro or most anywhere in the United States. They were black and white and brown, men and women, young and middle-aged. Some
Sample complete. Ready to continue?